Working here in the Barnett Shale requires that you have the best equipment available because every job counts. Put Energy Weld Fab to work on your next project. Energy Weld Fab manufactures oil and gas production equipment, as well as fabrication of custom vessels, piping, and structural steel. The Energy Weld Fab sales staff has a wealth of knowledge working here in the state of Texas and other regions, as some of their biggest clients are folks like EOG, Chesapeake, Quicksilver, and XTO. Call Mike Clements at Energy Weld Fab's team today with your questions and ordering information at 903-297-2500. That's 903-297-2500. Energy Weld Fab is your number one choice for oil field and production equipment because they understand that every job counts. That's Energy Weld Fab at 903-297-2500.
Elissa Walker Campbell is on the air, asking the questions you want to know, with the biggest and best names, Larry the Cable Guy.
You actually admitted being guilty of talking on the cell phone when you're on the commode. What were you thinking, Larry?
Well, I was learning etiquette.
Well, Larry, I know you're on your cell phone right now. I certainly hope you're not on your commode.
No, if I was on that, I'd be talking like this. So, yes, no.
Get ready for the fastest hour in radio with exclusive interviews you don't want to miss. The Big E Sports Show.
Elissa Walker Campbell, we want to welcome you back this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. And as promised, I said we're going to talk some NBA and zero in on the Dallas Mavericks as they look to get back to their winning ways after a disappointing loss at home against the Lakers on Wednesday night. The good news is that they're going to have another shot at them in the month of April. It will be in Los Angeles, and hopefully by then, all the key players, they'll have a full deck. They will be back from injuries, especially Sean Marion, because they really did miss him on the defensive end of the floor. We are delighted to welcome back to the program the Dallas Mavericks Spanish play-by-play voice, the great Victor Villalba. Victor, it's great to have you back again.
Well, thank you, Lisa. Thank you, and salutations to all your avid listeners. Great to be back.
Well, it is wonderful to have you back. And, you know, before we look ahead to what is down the road in the Mavs schedule and these road games in San Antonio and Houston, let's reflect for a moment on Wednesday night's outcome with the Lakers, because I tell you what, it really did make you realize just the value of Sean Marion and what an excellent job he does defending Kobe Bryant and crowding him. And it's difficult sometimes for Kobe to come out early and get into a rhythm. So they certainly have missed him.
You know, the game against the Lakers on Wednesday, there's a whole potpourri of different angles to look at this particular game. Of course, the one of Sean Marion is a real key because Kobe went off for 30, didn't play much in the fourth quarter. I mean, and he was Kobe. Andrew Bynum also was able to dominate the boards. I mean, the boards is almost 2-1 with Brendan Haywood being out. And even a guy like Delonte West that hasn't been with the team, hasn't been with the rotations, they're hoping to get him back soon. I mean, even he could have been used that night. Because, I mean, the fact is that the Dallas Mavericks were in a position, it was almost a watershed game from the standpoint that they had a bad moment. They got better. They beat a couple bad teams. They beat San Antonio. They beat Denver on the road, which is not easy. Danilo Gallinari comes out with a broken thumb and all that. But then they got the Lakers, and it was almost just a moment like to take a deep breath and say, okay, this is who we are. Let's go get him. Sean's not playing. And he almost did play, as a matter of fact, but he wasn't in the training form to be able to be out there. But you know, it's just one of those things that, you know, water under the bridge. You got to look at the next games coming up. But it was a moment where the Mavericks were not able to recapture that magic that they're going to need when the playoff time comes around.
Well, and they really did miss a number of just wide-open shots. I think what was kind of surprising for me was the disparity, because they have done a much better job over the last four wins that they had going into the Lakers game, you know, rebounding the basketball. And they were out-rebounded by 17 against the Lakers. And yes, I know, you know, Bynum, he had seven boards. I thought they did a good job, though, the young centers keeping him in check and not allowing him to just, you know, go off offensively. But back to my earlier point, you know, they have got to take care of the glass and get body on body.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. And part of the strategy was to have two guys on Andrew Bynum at any given moment. There was a lot of double teaming going on there. But that lets other guys free. And a guy like Kobe Bryant, boy, you can't leave him free. And then Ramon Sessions had a very solid game. He's doing what he went to L.A. to do, and he was a go-to guy as well, especially during the times that he was in the rotation and and giving Steve Blake a breather. But it's almost like Ramon Sessions, you know, being in his second year, never have been in playoffs, of course, in the NBA. He seemed like a seasoned veteran out there, really being calm and really decided as far as, you know, as his shot. But you're right. You know, the boards was a problem, and the lack of Brendan Haywood. Jan Mahinmi was trying to find his particular rhythm, and Brendan Wright, he brings a lot of energy into the court, but however, he is not one of these square bodies. He's a very lean body, but he's not a square body such as Andrew Bynum. And Pau Gasol, I mean, he had another good game, more than 20 points, close to double figures in boards. I mean, he was a factor as well.
Well, he was, and who knew that he was going to hit a three-pointer too, Victor?
Correct.
It was crazy. I mean, Pau Gasol, I mean, it really wasn't so much where he got a majority of his points with his back to the basket, but just facing up and hitting a number of outside shots and finished the game, as we were talking about, with 27 points and 9 rebounds. But let's back up for just a moment and really zero in on just the development of these young centers. And you know what is interesting about a Brendan Wright or a Jan Mahinmi? You know, these are not guys that you're necessarily going to put on the block and they're going to have a variety of moves, you know, with their back to the basket, but they can, you know, out-hustle, utilize their quickness, and they're very fast in transition. They can beat their guy down to the block and score quickly, and they're going to have to be able to do that until Haywood gets back.
Yeah, and really the question mark is, when does Brendan Haywood get back? Because that presence to start the game is very important, because that particular momentum that he creates, whether he's on his game or maybe a little bit off, is what brings Jan Mahinmi in and brings Brendan Wright in any given moment, depending on who the five is during the game. But the one thing about Jan Mahinmi, and this is something that Brad Davis had told me earlier in the year, Brad Davis, of course, former Maverick and also part of the player development department,
yes. Mm-hmm.
He told me that the thing about Jan Mahinmi is that the game has slowed down for him, and rather than flailing, rather than trying to over-hustle, he seems to maintain that physicality, if you will, but the game has slowed down a little bit. But the thing is that just as Jan Mahinmi can come out and get very close to a double-double, he can get lost certain times where you don't really feel his presence. And when you're looking at, like you had mentioned just a second ago, when you're out-rebounded by 17, there is a lack of physical presence under the board. And there's only two guys to point at for that Lakers game the other night. It's Jan Mahinmi and Brendan Wright. I mean, Dirk was getting his rebounds like he normally does, but the presence inside the paint has to be very important, because it doesn't get any easier. I mean, you got games against the Rockets, you got the Memphis Grizzlies coming up. I mean, you know, these are teams that have physical presences inside the paint, and the Mavericks going to have to, you know, they're going to have to get Brendan Haywood back. But then, if he's not back in time for these particular matchups, I mean, they're going to have to do something.
Well, they've got to have all five guys pursuing the ball. And you know, you bring up a great point talking about Dirk. So many times we focus on his efficiency offensively and, you know, how he continues to contribute such huge numbers. But he's one of the best Mavericks defensive rebounders. I mean, he does a really good job, and they need him on the defensive end of the floor as well.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's the complete game that Dirk brings. And people have said that sometimes Dirk takes a little bit of vacation on defense. And you can see it sometimes where somebody will go right by him, but that's not as often as you would take from a power forward guy who's one of the elite scorers in the NBA. So, you know, he does make an effort to round out his game and to be a presence in the board. And you know, when he's pulling down rebounds, I mean, it's not these gimme rebounds where it's coming to him and he's alone under the boards after someone took a three-pointer from way downtown. I mean, he's actually fighting and boxing and making sure that his position is correct under the bucket. And those are things that, as you well know, as a former basketball player yourself, those are things that you have to be disciplined. You have to know where you are. You have to know where you are on the court, where the ball is, where your opponent is.
Absolutely.
All these different things. And you know, Dirk does that, you know, a majority of the times under the bucket. And certainly, you know, he takes his lumps for it too, because when you see him flailing forward and there's a foul called, it's because someone put an elbow on his back or someone hit him as far as trying to go for the ball as well. So, I mean, the physical nature of the NBA under the boards is something that only those privileged people that are very close to the boards can really, really feel, because not even a television broadcast can really be a true reflection of exactly just how physical it gets under the boards.
You are listening to the familiar voice of Victor Villalba. He is the Spanish play-by-play announcer for the Dallas Mavericks. Tell all of our listeners out there where they can go and listen to you on the radio.
Well, absolutely. In Dallas-Fort Worth, 1270 a.m., we are present in each one of the broadcasts, and the Dallas Mavericks, you know, it's one of those teams that take their Spanish language properties pretty seriously. They actually travel somebody to each one of the games, which is a privilege for me. And the fact is that the Mavericks want to make sure that there's someone present at each one of these games and each one of the venues, and, of course, the American Airlines Center in Dallas-Fort Worth.
Okay, let's talk some more, Victor, about Dirk, because one of the things that I enjoy as a former basketball player and just vicariously enjoy watching him is on the offensive end that he never panics. You talked about with Jan now how his game has slowed down for him, but, you know, when Dirk gets that double team, I mean, it's always perfect timing. He'll pass it out, and he just knows how to pick the defense apart. I mean, he's not always necessarily going to make a quick move, but at times we'll see him make the drive.
Yeah, you know, and that first step, as you know, that's one of the most lethal weapons in NBA basketball, is when you have that first step and you're going towards the bucket and you've flown by your defender to where there's really no recourse but either to foul or say, hey, go on in. And in the case of Dirk Nowitzki, certainly that first step is maybe not the forte of his game, but you do see him at times when he knows that there has to be a presence inside the paint, there has to be driving to the bucket, that he will force the issue. He will try to do that time after time. Of course, the patented fadeaway shot is something that certainly, you know, when he goes to the Hall of Fame and they have a collage of pictures of him,
it'll be there.
Going with the fadeaway, you know that well with the knee up. But certainly he understands that it has to be a combination of things. And also I think, and I'm not trying to change the subject on Dirk, but the presence inside, one of the things that I've seen is that Vince Carter has to continue to go towards the bucket. Jason Terry also has to continue to do it. They can't expect to be shooting from outside without having a presence inside. And, you know, for a while Vince Carter was doing that and doing that very effectively. You'd look at his shot selection, and it was a combination of dots inside the paint and dots outside the perimeter. And you're not seeing that lately, and they really need to get him going just as Dirk continues to drive the bucket, drive the lane. Guys like Vince Carter, Jason Terry, they have to do the same thing, because it's that combination of, hey, am I shooting from outside? Am I going inside? How many times am I going to the line? How effective am I being at the line? How many times am I going to the line to convert a three-point shot? Those types of things are very important, especially when you're going down, you're winding down in the regular season and looking for an opportunity to get into the postseason.
Well, and you're exactly right, because they need Vince Carter. And I do love, you know, when they isolate him on the block. One thing that I've noticed so much about Vince is that he's got that great, he's very strong in his upper body strength, and that he can take it to the rack strong, and he can take it hard, get fouled, get to the line, and put it in the bucket.
Yeah, and when he's at the line, I mean, he's one of those guys that closes out all distractions. The stadium basically becomes a quiet gym where he's basically shooting alone. I mean, he has that presence to be able to do that, and he's a guy that can step to the line when the game's on the line and deliver the goods. So, you know, but once again, he has to find that decision process where he is continuously attacking the boards like he had done before. I mean, there were games where Vince Carter was my particular MVP because not because he was the highest scorer, not because he was the highest rebounder, but because the part that he plugged in to the collage, to the puzzle, was a key part that actually the sum of the parts was exactly what brought them the victory. And that's something that only Vince Carter can do in certain stages of the game, and that's something that the Mavericks need to see from him as the season progresses in this final straightaway towards the playoffs.
We are quickly running out of time with Victor Villalba. He is the Spanish play-by-play announcer for your Dallas Mavericks. And I know what is weighing heavily on so many of the Dallas Mavericks' minds is Lamar Odom. And I have to tell you, you know, I did get to the game on Wednesday night a little bit early, and I had a chance to watch him in pregame. And I have to tell you, I was very tempted to tweet that, you know, Lamar's going to have a big game, because watching him in pregame, I mean, he had his feet set. He was so sharp in his square ups. He was hitting long-range balls. And it was just beauty to watch. And I was just like, he needs that to carry over into a live game situation. And unfortunately, that has not happened. He is not playing with confidence, and he's hesitant to shoot the high percentage shot. Victor, what do we need to do to get him to shooting the ball in the right way?
Well, gosh, you know, I mean, 1 point, one rebound, and, you know, this was really the perfect storm, and I'm just saying this as a reasonable person. I'm not saying this because I do the games for the Mavericks. I'm not saying this because of because I have any kind of inside track. I'm just being a reasonable person who sees from the outside. This was the perfect storm for Lamar Odom. The Lakers coming in town. The last time they were in town, he had some personal issues going on. A lot of people were questioning his heart. Even Rick Carlisle said he's got to come out and play with his pants on fire. And then Rick Carlisle did add later, well, you know, he does things on the court that don't necessarily translate to him scoring, but he is present. His body, his presence on the court is important. Well, let me tell you something. Against the Lakers the other night, he was a complete non-factor. And the fact is that was his opportunity to demonstrate, hey, you know what? I can still do a double-double. I can still go to the board. I can still get rebounds. I can still be a factor in this team. And demonstrate, mostly to himself, that he still has game. And once again, everybody is kind of scratching their head thinking, where is Lamar Odom's heart? Not so much his game, not so much his shot, which, you know, everybody's, that shot's been AWOL for a little while. But the fact is that where is his heart? And what you don't want to do in sports is you don't want to leave yourself open to questioning, to ridicule, to a situation where people are saying,
right,
you know, what's wrong with him? You know, the night when they played the Lakers on Wednesday night, it was just it was a moment for him to be able to say, okay, naysayers, guess what? I'm back, I'm playing. And, that opportunity just went by the wayside.
Well, and in the first half when he made that beautiful drive to the basket, so strong, and unfortunately he missed the bunny. You know, it just seems like he gets down on himself too quickly and he loses his confidence. He's got to be stronger. He's got to stand up on the inside and just continue to believe in himself.
Yeah, you know, and Rick would just love to be able to say the thing to Lamar Odom that gets him going. But just somehow, there's just, the Ducks aren't in a row. And where are the Ducks? Nobody really knows exactly what's going on with Lamar Odom, and that's the big mystery.
Well, we'll have to see how this Texas two-step goes as they go off and head off to San Antonio and Houston this weekend. Safe travels, Victor, and we'll catch up with you again real soon.
Absolutely. Thanks for the invite. And once again, hello to everybody that listens to your show.
Thank you. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead here in just a moment.